Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I love you guys. I am TJ Jackson, and across from me is my brother Terrell Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
And diagonal for me is Taj Jackson, my eldest brother.
Hello.
Not the wisest. And then we have a quick special guest co-host with us, someone I've been wanting to be on the show, and because there's no school, I woke him up from his sleep and said, "You're coming to the show." hasn't stopped smiling for the last 2 minutes, Mr. Royal Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that voice, too. Sexy voice.
These younger Jacksons, man, they got the voice. Is it coolness? What is it?
I think they're cool.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
So we are here live on the Power of Love Radio Show, and if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us, for being with us. We're going to open up phone calls, yeah?
Yeah.
We're going to open up phone calls today. The number to call in is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. This is the last show of 2016, so we're going to pretty much open up on any significant topics we've had for the year, whether it's Dede Jackson Foundation related or whether it's news related. Anything that's on your mind dealing with, you know, inspiration or overcoming loss or grief, please share with us. If you had a big breakthrough in the year, share that with us. If you're at a crossroads, share it with us. It's an open mic, open communication for our last show. For Twitter, for those on social media, Taj, can you want to give us the handles for our social media?
Sure. For Twitter, it's at DDJ Foundation. Facebook, it's DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
Okay. And Terrell, you want to do our disclaimer? You want to be a disclaimer man?
No.
All right. So we're not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss. And we are just sharing our stories, our experiences to help you feel support and to let you know that you're not alone. Like I like to say, everyone is pretty much has always went through something. Whatever you're going through, someone has went through it before. And I think if we open up dialogue and conversation, it'll help us deal with it and overcome it. Royal.
Yeah.
I like Royal. This guy, man. He's just smiling every time. Why are you so happy, Royal?
He's happy he's not.
He's next to Uncle Taj. You don't notice that he smiles when he's next to me?
What's up, man? Why are you smiling?
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool?
Yeah. It's cool. Like the whole like mic setup and stuff.
Cool. What'd you think? We're all going to be on one mic, Shane?
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought it was going to be, yeah.
So it's actually a little better than what you thought it would be?
Yeah. Like a little Howard Stern type of thing.
Howard Stern? Okay. Son, move up a little closer to the mic. You got a soft voice like your father.
God.
There you go. Okay, well, we're happy you're here, Ro. I've been wanting you to be here so you can give a younger perspective on things. And actually, I've always wanted to ask a specific question to you. But first, I think we should talk about the two, I'm going to call them legends, that passed within the last 4 days. Maybe four days. But we lost two more greats. It's been a tough 2016. We lost Mr. George Michael, who was one of my favorite artists by far. Awesome talent. Great guy. And some of his music is just classic. A lot of his music is classic. So it's a tough one for me. Because, like I said, I grew up with him. And I know my brothers did, too. And then the other person, Miss Carrie Fisher, which I gotta confess, I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
Oh my gosh,
I don't understand. That
I can't get into it, man.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you like Star Wars, right?
No. You used to.
You like Star Wars. You just didn't like the last one.
I didn't like the last two. The only Star Wars I liked is Revenge of the Sith. So,
really,
that's the only one.
Yeah, I don't like the other ones.
It's inherited.
I can't. I've seen Rogue One. Try to see it twice. I fall asleep every time. I don't understand. I don't know.
Pops doesn't like Star Wars either.
Yeah, that's what I said. Maybe it's inherited.
I don't get it, but
maybe it's a Tito thing.
It's a Tito.
Y'all have Tito in your name.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But bro, you used to love Star Wars, right?
Yeah, but
that was, yeah, that was, you like had a seven. Star Wars party.
Did he?
Back in the day. Yeah, I have a picture.
Did he's I choose as, my party themes?
you're Darth Vader.
Your party themes.
Running around hitting everyone.
Don't make it seem like his party themes are based on what was on sale at the moment. Your party themes are based on what you were into the most. You know? So
yeah,
you're
probably, I was into Star Wars for a bit.
So,
but the coolest Legos, that's why.
Yeah, they do have cool Legos. But the one thing I wanted to say about Carrie Fisher was I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan, but I do respect the strength and the just the figure that she brought out in Princess Leia. And I don't know any of her other roles. Taj, you would be able to maybe speak on that. But the Princess Leia, especially for someone, for a father of girls, it's a strong, independent kind of, it's like a real-life superwoman. And that's a pretty cool thing, and I think her impact was felt around the globe.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think, you know, we as a culture, we celebrate people once they're gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, more than we celebrate them when they're alive sometimes. And we have to be also, I don't want to go on a soapbox or whatever, but you know, these two people were advocates for something, you know, that they believed in. They used their celebrityism, you know, to help people. You know, George Michael, he was a devoted advocate for LGBT rights and also AIDS awareness. And Carrie Fisher brought a lot of awareness to mental illness. And I think that's something that when you're a celebrity, you can shine a light on certain things that other people aren't aware of, and that's something that I appreciate for what they did, you know, because they did it at times when it wasn't PC to do it, you know. George Michael, you know, announcing that he was gay and coming out of the closet and stuff was a hard thing, you know, at that time to mm-hmm. do, and so he led the charge in a way, you know, for some of that. And same thing with Carrie Fisher with mental illness
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and battling that. So I think that's what I celebrate them for as well, besides, you know, the music and the movies and stuff like that, because, you know, it's weird. We, you know, there's celebrities and then there's famous people. And I agree with the word famous because famous just means you have fame. But I don't think people that we call celebrities should be called celebrities unless they do something that we should celebrate. That's my thing about it. We throw that word around a lot, you know. Oh, he's a celebrity. But it really comes from the word celebrate. And I don't celebrate half the celebrities that are up there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be celebrated because they haven't done anything for the community or culture.
And this is, I'm going to call this little section Taj's rant.
I haven't started the rant yet. that was the nice part about
but
it.
But Taj, this is my question. It's getting worse, obviously.
Yeah, because society is saying this is what you should celebrate. Like how many Instagram followers or Twitter followers.
Is that going to change? No.
Not unless people say this is what should be what's important, you know, and that's a thing. I think it'll change if people want it to change. But if your worth is dictated by how many Twitter followers or Instagram or Snapchat followers you have, then no, it won't change.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about helping people. It's about helping yourself.
Bro, who are you into? Who's the generation? Because, look, I always ride Royal and the younger cousins on their generation versus ours.
Yeah.
But, like, who do you look up to for inspiration?
Non-family members. Don't look at me.
Besides me. Like, who do you guys look up to?
Well, I'm different from my friends, of course. I don't really look up to celebrities that much. I mean, the first actual celebrity I really started, like, following, like I actually like followed them and like actually paid attention to and became a really big fan of was Logic. But
that's the rapper Logic.
Yeah, that's really the only celebrity that, like, because, like, I've never just, like, been like, oh, that's, like, whoever. That's, oh, that's Logic on the street or something like that. But until, like, I actually started listening to him, I actually became, like, a really big fan. But I guess for him, or for me, that's my inspiration is Logic.
And what about your okay, first of all, real quick on Logic. I took Royal to, I surprised him. He's smiling. He's still smiling. I surprised him after we got, look at that smile. I surprised him. We landed, and I told him we had to go back home for something. He was so mad. And then we went to...
He told us we were having, some meeting.
Yeah. I told him we had a meeting. I was like, and so we had to fly back. We were in Texas that we had to fly back for.
When was this?
This was 3 months summertime. Early summer, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was so mad at me. Like, why do I have to fly back from
Texas? Why are
you
taking me with me? Okay.
Yeah. So then we went straight from LAX to the Forum because Logic was performing, and I got tickets to Logic, his favorite artist.
Ah.
So he was like, where are we going? Where is this meeting at? So then it got to the point where I couldn't hide it because his girlfriend was at the concert already, and she didn't know he was going. Right, Ro?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, seriously, where are we going? He kept saying that even though we were parking. He goes, no, seriously, are we going to the concert? And so he was happy, which was cool. But why I'm talking about Logic, because I was actually impressed. You know, I was expecting some young kind of punk rapper kid that the generation that I don't, just the generation just follows, has no substance. But what's his message he always says?
Peace, love, and positivity.
He always, like, preaches peace, love, and positivity between his songs. Not all the time, but he did it at least 4 times. And I'm thinking, this guy has this place sold out, and in today's time, he's able to preach that without trying to be too cool or whatever. And I was actually really happy. So since then, I got him a sweater, and I said, you be a Logic fan, because there's guys out there that are still doing something that are still stressing positivity.
Right.
They're not many. Like, who do your friends like?
Anyone that makes music now. Young Thug.
Young Thug?
Yeah, Future.
Future's old.
Yeah, I was thinking one Future song.
I don't know. I know who he is, I think.
Oh, Lil Yachty, Lil Uzi.
Who?
Lil Yachty. 21 Savage.
I haven't heard of any of I know Future in the first one. Young Thug, I've heard of them, but Lil Uzi and Savage, I don't know. But I want to make sure, all right, sad, at least for you, I want to make sure you have positive role models outside your family. But I think that's what's going on, to piggyback off Todger's rant, is our society's not giving enough positive role models and not displaying them and giving them the push. Is that right, Todger?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it, is just when you have that platform, it's such a strong... It's such a strong platform, and it's like now it's all about, like, can I get more money from that platform? And can, you know, instead of just helping people. I mean,
is our society wired, though, that if you're preaching positivity and you're too clean?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, is it quote unquote uncool?
No, it's just the society is now dictated by tabloids and you know, and those kind of things. So it's that gets more traction. So everyone will print that, and everyone will talk about that. If you say a bad tweet, that'll get more traction than saying a positive tweet. So that's why people will report on it, because then you'll get eyeballs and clickbait and all that stuff. So it's just now the people that are controlling it is the people that are trying to make money, which has always been the case, but now it's the media.
Terrell, you got anything? It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's backwards, and it's sad because... It's like people, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of the negative media, they celebrate that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people follow that. If you want Instagram, you want followers, you have to rebel, you have to do this, you have to do that. And it gets you further.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so celebrities, or really anyone out there, portray a strong message, portray good things, right? Is that what we're saying, right? Portray positivity.
Well, just help. You know, I mean, I think that's the least you can do. That's what we were taught, you know,
that's what
from our family. Yeah. And from our family, they taught us that if you have these methods, then help people. And it's not a hard thing to do in any case. Every little bit helps. So I don't know. I don't understand selfishness in that way. So maybe that's why I have this rant.
Yeah.
Because, perfectly, you know, we're hearing about George Michael and how, you know, he donated this and this secretly to, you know, in terms of giving to charities and stuff like that. And Uncle Michael used to do the same thing, you know, and it never got reported because he never wanted it to be reported. But it's like you hear about it after the fact. And that's people that with good hearts that just want to help people and don't want the spotlight of like, look at me.
Mm-hmm. So we're taking phone calls again. There's been some phone calls, but we haven't answered it this early. But if you want to chime in with your perspective or anything regarding 2016, call us at 323-203-0815. And something the last show we did I wanted to talk about was, why do we have this, I don't want to say allegiance, but why do we feel so much pain when we lose a celebrity? What is it about? By the way, some of these questions I have to ask it. I have an answer. I have a perspective. But I have to ask it to open it. So don't be looking at me like you don't know why. But, but what do you guys want? How do you guys want to respond to that? Why is it when a celebrity or a famous person passes, why do we feel it?
Because it's a part of your life. You know, growing up, it brings you back to a memory. You feel like you grow with this person, whether it's music or whatever it may be. Going back to, because we discussed this a little bit last week with Alan Thicke, you know, you pretty much saw him for us. We watched the show Growing Pains, so every week he was there. And then eventually, you know,
they're gone.
It was every day.
Yeah.
You know, syndication and things. And then, you know, you feel like you're with them. You laugh with them.
You know,
cry
them.
With them. Yeah, you feel a part of them.
Yeah.
So it's... And then that's a whole nother thing. It's like the person and the character they're playing. You know what I mean? But then when they do pass, you realize, you first of all, you feel sad, obviously, because they're gone. And then you realize that you'll never have those moments again. You'll never experience that character or have that situation again where they can replay. You know, I think with George Michael, I don't think it was going to happen, but there was always talks about a Wham reunion, you know, and I think it was shot down. It wasn't going to happen. It was going to happen, but now it's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, obviously, it's you know? Done,
and that's sad too.
I'm looking at a quote from George Michael, you know, because a lot of these, you know, from Carrie Fisher to George Michael for the last couple of days, you know, they passed, and I just want to read this quote. From George Michael. He said, because of the media, the way the world is perceived is as a place where resources and time are running out. We're taught that you have to grab what you can before it's gone. It's almost as if there isn't time for compassion. And, you know, I think that's
a strong quote.
That's a strong quote because I think that's the truth. It's like everything's, it's kind of this me first attitude that is projected now. Like, you know, I got to get mine before, you know, because whatever you take, that's less for me, is kind of the reality. And that's, you know, I think why where we're at.
I was reading, was it reading or watching? I think it was a Facebook video I was watching about the importance of teaching youngsters about slowing everything down. Mm-hmm. Everything is so instant gratification from when they need a ride somewhere to TV shows. They can watch it all at the same time to albums. They get every album they want. So how do you teach? And one of the issues with that is they lose sense of disappointment and they lose sense of loss and
patience.
Not patience was huge, and it's something that it's so hard today though is to try to get kids to do that. This guy's pretty good at it though. Yeah. He's pretty patient. I think I was hard on Royal, but for that reason I wanted to make sure the firstborn was very compassionate.
Firstborn is always. The one that's the hardest. I tell him that
right
all the time.
I try
I understand.
I try to
well.
Talk over it, but he was on. But no,
as soon as you said firstborn, you were in trouble.
We have a bond already. You don't have to say it.
No, but it's important to set the tone of being a patient thinker, you know, and he is that. By the way, I got your PSAT scores today. I was very, very proud of him.
Whoa.
Seriously, I think you need to take the PSAT and not the ACT.
You can thank Skyrim for my patience, by the way.
Yeah, Skyrim?
Yeah.
Video games?
Don't get me started on video
that
games.
That is a game I don't understand.
Can you tell me why, Ron?
Well, there's been, let's just say there's been multiple times where I've been carrying too much, like, on my character. I had to walk 6 hours across the map to, like,
is that 6 hours real time?
Yeah, that's 6 hours real time. It's literally walking in, like, so, mountains.
So, in this, let's make this real quick. This is an open day. We're just going to have fun today, but we're going to keep it on love and inspiration and growing, self-growth. Video games, what's your take on them? And I'm talking to a guy who runs a gamer channel. So... positive, negative?
What is your gamer channel?
I love them.
Real quick.
I love them.
It's K9 Dog 10
It's
still?
K9 Dog 10 still, yeah.
On YouTube?
I love them. It's my, they're
plugging you wrong.
All, like, they're,
it's your outlet.
Yeah. It's, they're just so fun. And it's just the different ways that, like, with technology you can express, like, tell a story now through a video game, and the fact that you can have, like, emotional connections to a video game character. Like you can, and like Call of Duty, it's just fun, and playing with your friends and all that, it's just fun.
So, it's weird because I go up and down on video game. I used to be a big video game player, and if I had more time, I would still be. I'm not against video games. I just worry as a father that you could spend too much time. Just monitoring that. But the one thing I do give video games a lot of credit for, it's an escape, mm-hmm. and whatever you're going through in life. Really, however level, video games can take you out of that space so quickly and so effectively and so just great, you know? And do you have an experience where that's happened for you, Ro, where you've had to use... What do you... When you overcome something really bad or sad or tough, what do you do to overcome it as a youth?
I usually play a lot of video games. Sometimes I make music. Mm-hmm. But mostly video games with my friends and something like that.
Have you ever had to go to a friend who you've seen that is struggling? Okay, you know what? Let's do this. We were talking about bullying. Mm-hmm. You ever get bullied?
No.
Why are you smiling?
Because I make sure people don't bully me.
How do you do that?
I'm not a pushover.
What's in your character that's helped that? What has helped you not be a... What's helped you not become a pushover?
Just being confident in myself. I mean, I just, like, also having the knowledge of that, like, most of the teenagers that I'm around with, they're just a lot of talk, and they're just going to say things without any action behind them. So as long as you stick up for yourself... They'll eventually show you some respect and leave you alone.
Okay, we're going to take our first call. Who do we have on the phone?
Just a lot of talk.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
Oh, this is Alicia.
How are you, Alicia?
Hey, Alicia.
Good, how are you?
Good. Alicia, can you turn down your radio?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, yeah, so we could get rid of the feedback.
Look how you say radio.
Alicia,
that's old school.
Your computer.
Hi.
What's up, Alicia? How you doing?
How are you?
Hi. Hold on.
Okay.
Good. Alicia, can you turn down your radio?
We're gonna turn Alicia down. Okay. Go ahead, Taj. Are you gonna say something?
I was gonna just real quick while
we're okay.
Back.
Hi.
Oh, okay. She's back.
Okay. Go ahead, Alicia.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I was calling to talk about a few things.
Yes.
The first was George Michael and Carrie Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, these deaths these past couple of weeks have kind of been feeling like a assault on like 70s and 80s childhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one after the other, and it's kind of just a little bit overwhelming. And it's like you were saying earlier, you know, why we gravitate towards their body of work.
Yeah.
Is, I think, because it makes us feel closer. Like, I was listening to George Michael before the show came on, and I've been listening to him these past couple of days, and even with Carrie Fisher too. I was a really big Star Wars fan when I was younger. Not so much anymore, but it just, it brings you back to, how do you grieve these people, and why do you feel so connected to them? Is because that's what they were. They were part of your
part of your
childhood.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings you back to that, and when you, kind of also piggybacking off of what Royal was saying about being bullied. I know for me, that's kind of how I got through it. You know, listening to music or watching movies or something like that. So these
figures are kind of elevated. They've helped you and they've become part of you.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I think that's a great point. You know, it's who we've grown up with. When I heard George Michael pass, it was so shocking, and so it took me hours to function again. I mean, I don't want to say function, but you know, to not think about him. And it's like you said, he was part of your life. And I think it also kind of tells you, you know, life, you're getting older in a sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're getting older, and we're all approaching our midlife, or some of us are even past that. And it's kind of a reminder that, you know, tomorrow's not promised, you know, and it's tough, you know, because I know, Rod, did you even know who George Michael was?
From
the movie Keanu, or...
He's in Keanu?
He's not in it, but that's the music that the guy always listens to.
No, I knew Careless Whisper.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, a lot of our youth don't really understand who, maybe it's Carrie Fisher because of Star Wars, but who George Michael is. So for them, it just goes over their head. Mm-hmm. But for us in our 30s and 40s and 50s, it's like an attack on our life, in a sense, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
but
I remember Christmas, my cousin asked who George Michael was, and I told her that he was a big pop star in the 80s, and then, you know, I was playing her some of his videos, and she goes, oh, so that's elevated music. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, she didn't just say that.
Wow.
Like, did you just, you know, I mean, obviously she's younger
I am, but
it just took, like, elevator music, I could never really thought of it like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then when your Uncle Michael passed, it took me about 2 days of not being able to sleep and about 6 months of, you know, just grasping that he wasn't here anymore.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my first concert was Victory. So it just... You know, that just totally took me out. And especially, you know, thinking about you guys and how close you were to him, it just, like, didn't compute completely.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, this year has just been...
It's tough.
...insane. I'm waiting for it to be over.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Alicia...
Please don't take anybody else.
Alicia, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yeah,
thanks for supporting our show and you know, wishing you all the love and happiness for 2017. And I think the message of this phone call is tomorrow's not promised, and make the most of your life. And you know, I don't know.
Yeah, hang in there.
But hang in there, Alicia, and much love to you.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
We'll do one more phone call. Who do we have on the phone?
Hi, my name is Meredith. I just wanted to really just let you guys know I love the idea of your show. It's really helpful. You've had great subjects on there. And even the days like this where you just let people call in and speak freely, like the young lady that just finished speaking about George Michael, I agree with a lot of things she was saying. And that's all I had to call.
Okay. Oh, really appreciate that. Thank you.
It means a lot to us. And, you know, we're having more of these open phone call shows because a lot of people have said they love them and they like to be, you know, we stress about the community and making this show from the ground up. And it gives someone a voice to do it.
And that's the whole purpose of, you know, the DDJF, too, is to build a community. So we obviously want to hear from you guys, too. Otherwise, you know, so thank you.
Thank you and keep listening and share the message, okay?
No problem. Keep up the good work.
Much love to you.
Yeah.
Sweet. So we'll take more phone calls later. But I think that that was right on. I think, Taj, that's another thing, is that you get to an... It's like, these are people I grew up with. You know what I mean?
And childhood is... People usually, unless you had a really bad childhood, people cherish their childhood. And if you had a bad childhood, there's something that helped you get through that. And that also is important. And that could be a song, a movie, you know, a book. Yeah. And so that's what got you through it. So you appreciate that. And so you do notice that most of these people that are passing, they're being celebrated because, you know, they've done something to help people in a way. You know, and I can't stress the being advocates enough. You know, I think it does help in terms of having some kind of purpose, mm-hmm. because people really gravitate towards that. Mm-hmm. You know, the two people that they cared and they used their you know platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Royal.
Yeah,
you were in a daze. Yeah. What are you thinking about?
I actually don't know.
Video games.
Yeah. Oh, he went to bed late playing games.
But I have a Carrie Fisher quote.
Yeah, please.
This is from Carrie Fisher. She says, I am mentally ill. I can say that. I am not ashamed of that. I survived that. I'm still surviving it, but bring it on.
Mm. What was that in reference to?
Her mental illness.
Which is?
What?
Do you know what it is? She's bipolar.
Yeah.
She was bipolar.
Disorder, yeah.
Bipolar disorder. And like you said, I respect her for bringing that to the forefront and being a voice.
Yeah.
Because I know Yashi retweeted, I think, that tweet from her by basically saying, thanks for being an inspiration.
Yeah. And that's it was a courageous thing to do back then.
Oh,
because,
for sure.
You know, and a lot of people didn't understand it. And that's what I'm saying, using your voice as a platform. Because... You know, she really brought a lot of light to it. You know, at that point, it was just, so-and-so is just crazy or this or that. And that's not the case at all, as we learned from last podcast.
Where's your quotes? Did you look any up?
You kept on calling me.
Okay. Royal, do you ever, this is going to get pretty, you know, let's answer this phone call before I bring it here. We got another phone call. Who do we have on the phone?
Hello?
Hi. Who's this?
Oh, I finally got on the air. I will put my radio on mute. This is Tiffany.
Hey, how are you, Tiffany?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
Good. How's your holidays going so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. How has your holiday been?
Everything is good. What do you have to chime in with us? What do you got for us?
I wanted to talk and touch on the topic of like how a celebrity can like touch a person's life, mm-hmm. and everything. And I kind of primarily want to talk about your Uncle Michael, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm just looking at him because he's posted all over my bedroom right now.
Let's hear it.
So like, y'all are too. But I've been a fan of Michael since I was 9 years old. I was telling somebody that earlier today. I've been a fan since I was 9. I'm 30 now. And, you know, I don't think that, like, when he passed, that it really registered with me. But at the time when he did pass, I don't know if I grieved the way other fans did. Because, you know, as soon as my father came in and said, you know, Michael went to heaven, I jumped in. It was with the other fans trying to give them pep talks and help them, because I don't say it a lot and I don't like flash it or anything, but I did manage to talk four other fans out of suicide, actually. Mm. You know, I tried to tell them like Michael wouldn't want this, he'd want you to live, he'd want you to remember his legacy, and you know, that's been my message, you know, since it happened, unfortunately. Because if it weren't for your uncle, I personally wouldn't be alive myself, to be honest.
Mm. Wow.
Tiffany,
yes?
No, I was going to say thank you for sharing that. And because I've heard that before. I've heard some fans had to encourage other fans to continue living out of love. And I know it's not easy, but you have to know what my uncle would want. And that would be for you to be as happy and as loving and as giving as possible. So what you're doing for others is greatly appreciated, and is important. And I think that's actually a good topic, is to,
because don't make me cry.
No, it's huge, because that's a good topic for us to have in the future, is because I think we all can kind of feel this, mm-hmm. is that when Uncle Michael passed, we're still grieving, and it's like we didn't get to grieve on our own, because yeah. our attention and we wanted to make sure our cousins were strong and all that, so it didn't allow you to grieve maybe properly or on the course. You have to be the strong figure. So
right.
I think that's right on, and I respect you and applaud you yeah. for being that, because it's not easy.
Thank you. You make me sound like it doesn't feel like it was anything special. I just felt like it was something I had to do. I didn't feel like I was doing anything special.
No, you are. You are. You're following your heart, you know. But thank you so much for your phone call, Tiffany. And
thank you. Have
a beautiful, happy holidays, and thank you for listening, and have a great 2017.
Thank you, Tiffany. Yeah.
All right, thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. I think that's a very important point, you know?
Yeah, that's
an important point that I think a lot of people, maybe that's a topic we should have, is when you pass, when a family member passes, a lot of times the older figure, and you've even said this, doesn't really, kind of has to ignore it and just play,
put
it
on hold, whoever's put
in
hold.
That older role,
you know, has to put it on hold. Yeah. And I think that's something that we should do a show on and focus on, because, you know, how do you, it's just tough. I know that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. I mean,
that's a good topic.
We do need to have that topic.
Okay.
You know, in the future.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, Royal, was do you ever get scared of things? Like, not like boogeyman stuff, but do you ever get scared of you know, someone leave? Are you scared of the concept of death?
Like, am I scared of dying?
No, like, are you scared? Do you ever worry about a family member or, you know, whether it's your younger brother or your parents or anything like that? Do you ever worry about, like, does that keep you up at night? You know what I mean? Do you ever think about it?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, when Rio was first born and he had that hearing mm-hmm. problem, I was kind of scared for him. And that's probably the only time. Sometimes I think about grandma too.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever talk to anyone about it?
No, not really.
Okay. What's proper protocol for that?
No, it's difficult, because death is something people don't like to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't like to deal with it. I don't like talking about death.
Yeah.
Or loss or
is that right though? Like, is that the proper way to do it?
No, I'm not saying it's the proper proper way to go.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's difficult. It's a hard subject.
It's doubly hard when you're a guy too, because you can't go to, it's harder to go to other guys about, like, I don't think you would go to your friends and talk to them about it unless they experienced it, because, you know, it's a certain softness to it too, in terms of, you know,
Some people look at it as a sign of weakness.
Yeah, or you're soft or whatever like that. You know, and it has nothing to do with that. I think you're strong if you talk about it. But I can understand being, if I was a teenager, you know, and I had friends, I would be kind of cautious.
I used to not think about it a lot, but I used to, like, be scared of it. Not for me, but for loved ones.
Yeah, like, have nightmares or something about.
Yeah, just wondering, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just curious to know about you in particular, but more because you as a, I think most of your gen, I think you're pretty much the copy of your generation. You know, you're young, you're wearing a hashtag flow sweater.
That's not a good thing to say.
What is that?
I don't know, I just like the hoodie. I found it one day. Oh. I kept it.
It was mine, but I gained too much weight, so I had to give it to Ro.
It was never yours.
No, but I wanted to know that, because you've never really had to deal with a significant loss that was close to you. Have any of your friends ever had to?
I don't think so. Not since I've known them.
Okay. And what about any of your friends going through a divorce?
Wasaba is.
You're not supposed to say the name, Ro, but now we can't talk about that. he's being authentic. He's being real. What advice do you give to anyone of your generation? What do you do for kids that are going through divorce or lost? Do you say anything? Or
I mean, well, I haven't gone through it, but I guess my guess would be to find what you love and find an outlet, whether that's drawing or whatever you love to do, and just whatever makes you truly happy, and just do that.
You listen to our show?
No, I don't.
That's good, man. I'm proud of you. Smart kid, Ross.
That's the thing. I feel like, you know, speaking about death or loss or separations, all those things are, there's so much negativity already in the world. And talking about certain subjects like those, it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you want to be happy, you know? So bringing those discussions
to the forefront, it's contradictory.
Yeah, you're going to put yourself into a bad place. You know, we could talk about the loss of Uncle Michael.
Is there a way to do it where you're not putting yourself?
I guess not always. I guess there's a flip side. You could celebrate and talk about the good times and the good memories. Because I remember when Uncle Michael passed, I obviously cried, but I didn't really have that hard cry for a while. Because every time I thought about him, when I would get sad, there'd be a memory of when we would laugh together. Mm-hmm. And I'd find myself smiling. And it was strange for me because I almost felt like he was trying to cheer me up in some way, because memories just kept going where I would laugh about this, or, you know, when we would do stuff at Neverland and watch Stooges or something, would just bring a happy moment to me. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's both sides, but overall, death and the idea of maybe losing a loved one, it's not something you want to think about, I would think.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Terrell, because when I think of Uncle Michael, you know, I always think happy things.
And like,
so it's like, because whenever we would be with him, it'd always be fun and joy. So I can't equate that with sadness in a way. So it's hard for me to fathom that.
Which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of just the loss of not having him here is what, but it's not the memories of it. It's more just, you know, the emptiness.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think this is someone who's just called. The phone lines keep going in and out. There's a lot of calls, but you guys are talking, so I don't want to cut people off. But I think we've had this number, but I'm going to answer it anyway. Hello. Who do we have on the phone?
This is Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I am just fine.
What do
you I can't believe I actually got through. I'm excited.
Oh, we're excited too. Well, nice to hear your voice. What do you got for us, Diana?
Well, first of all, I don't know what your topic is today because my computer isn't cooperating with me, so I'm unable to listen live.
Okay.
But I wanted to take the opportunity just to thank you. Listening in week after week, and just hearing your story has really meant a lot to me personally. And I know that it's meant a lot to other people. So I wanted to call in and just say thank you.
Thank you.
We really appreciate that. Thank you.
That means a lot to
us. I will continue to follow you guys. I'm a fan, period. But this, your work, it's huge. I started off really following the DJ Foundation because of the loss of my father. And you grieve for so many different things in your life, not just the death of a person, of a loved one. And I connect with so many different topics that you guys present. And just means a lot.
Diana, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. You know, when we first wanted to do this show, that's what we wanted to do, was to provide a platform for anyone dealing with anything, really. You know, the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation started basically I think the first initiative was to do something for kids who lost a parent, like we did. But we've learned that there's a lot of people going through a lot. And, you know, we wanted to branch out and do something where we can every week cover a topic of grief and become an inspiration. So to hear you say that we're doing that makes everything worth it and makes us feel really good. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
And
go ahead.
Have a great rest of your day, and I hope you have a great New Year's weekend coming up with your family. So God bless you all.
Thank you, Diana. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, that feels good to hear all this great feedback on the show.
It does.
It's 4 months old.
It's 4 months old, and I think, you know, when we started this, we wanted just to help people, you know, but also make it therapeutic for us as well by talking about it. And, you know, now that we're at the end of the year, you know, and hearing feedback from people, and it's helped, you know, it's helped me too, you know, hearing all this and stuff like that and feeling more closer to you guys, you know, as well, hearing your stories.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I'm really happy for this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I love it. You know what? Too, it's so much fun to do it with family. You see the little inner workings. It's great. I think we've had this number, but should I answer? There's three more phone calls that are on right now. Should I try to get to them or
try?
Yeah, let's try. All right. It is 2000, and it's the last show. Who do we have on the phone? Hello. Are you there?
Is it up?
Hello?
That's what I'm here for.
Hello?
Who do we have on the phone?
This is Sequoia.
Sequoia. How are you, Sequoia?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing good. What you got for us?
I want to talk about celebrities passing, like how people felt so connected to them. The celebrity that affected me most was actually Michael, because I actually felt so connected to him through his music. And that's like, when I was really young, really like five, I was like just in the cartoons and stuff, and my childhood wasn't really that good because my parents was always arguing. And my daughter, she was the one that actually introduced me to music. We actually sat down and watched music videos, and the first music video I saw was Michael Jackson, Black or White.
Wow.
And that was...
Hello? Uh-oh. Sequoia, call us back. It just cut out. Oops. We're going to take one more phone call, guys. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this the radio show?
Yes, it is. Who do we have on the phone?
Oh, boy. It's Gigi Taylor calling.
Gigi!
Hey!
How are you, Gigi?
I'm doing good. I don't want to take too much time. I just wanted to say that and a couple of the other callers said the same thing. And I truly am proud of you guys with the DDJ Foundation.
Yes.
Great. You're doing a great job. And
Gigi, why are you proud of it? Like, what is it? What is it DDJF means to you? What are we doing right?
Well, you put me on the spot. Well, I'm proud. Well, first of all, you guys, you know, your character and your integrity that you've always shown, that's the one thing I think why a lot of people, and I'll just speak for myself, are proud. So you guys are consistent with your character and how you live. And so it shows with this foundation, and it shows with this podcast. It shows with the music therapy. I hope I'm answering it. I'm kind of nervous. I didn't expect that question.
No, but you know what, Gigi? I know, I think my brothers have shared this, but it's hard for me when I say this because I don't want to speak for you guys. But if I ever say something, you guys will agree. Let us know. But I'm getting to a point in my life where it's like, what am I leaving behind? You know, every now and then when I'm going out, I'll hear someone say, you know, my daughter got married to your song, or your song was the first song that me and my boyfriend listened to. I hear those stories a lot, but you want to leave more, and being able to do this foundation is giving us a platform to do that. And there's nothing more fulfilling when you hear, you know, people's stories saying that it's made an impact on them, it's helped them. And, you know, life is short, life is precious, and to be able to help people live a more fulfilled life and help them get on the right track to live every second to the best they can is awesome, you know. And Gigi, I'm going to let you go because we're running out of time. But people like you and Sequoia and Diana and all and Alicia and Tiffany, and there's many more that I'm not saying, but you guys who supported us from day one and continue to support us is huge. So much love to you guys.
Yeah, and thank you.
And please continue to be our support. And we love you. So thank you.
Thank you. Love you too. In my prayers always.
All right, Gigi. Wow,
thank you.
The one more thing I want to say real quick, guys, before we go, because we're over time. Sequoia, first of all, next week, please call us back and share your story because we lost you. The other thing I want to say, though, is our board members. I'm not going to go through our board. DDJF is not just Taj, Terrell, and TJ. There's a list of board members who put time into it, who aren't being compensated for their time, but just doing it out of the greatness of their heart. And we want to thank you guys for being supporting this cause, because it's something that's big and important to us, and for you guys to do that is huge. I know everyone in our board usually has their own little story and their personal why, but it means a lot to the whole team.
And also thank you to those that are volunteering that aren't necessarily part of the board but have volunteered their time, Evan and a few others. Thank you.
Yeah,
for helping DDJF.
Taj, you got any last things for closing for 2016?
No, I think 2016, you know, is...
Sorry, Taj.
Yeah, just cut me off.
Yeah, yeah, my bad. Go ahead, man.
2016, you know, is slowly coming to an end. But for 2017, focus on helping people, helping others. It feels really good to help someone.
Make it a New Year's resolution,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Royal Jackson, I didn't get to spend the exact amount of time with you I wanted to on the show, so you will be coming back. You got school starting next week, so it'll be a while, but thank you for being here, son.
Yeah,
thanks
Royal.
For sharing your little stories.
I like to see with Royal.
But really, thank you guys for making 2016 a great year for DDJF, and please continue to support us so we can make 2017 even better. We are here Wednesdays from 1 to 2 p.m., and if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to ddjf.org and support the foundation. Any donation amount helps us support those in need. And much love to you all. Anything else, guys?
No.
Nope.
That's it?
That's all we got right now.
All right. Much love to you guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the DD Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.